Well, we thank the Lord tonight for His love to every one of us. I don't believe there's any way possible to overemphasize Jesus Christ. I don't believe there's any way to truly downplay His significance and His work for us. When He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life," that's, if I may say that of Christ, an understatement, because certainly He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has become and is our peace and our reconciliation. He is the only begotten of the Father, the Bible teaches us. In Him shall all fullness dwell. He is the light of the world. He is the resurrection. He is the means by which we have right standing with God. So tonight we want to just thank Him for being Himself. And there's so much can be said about Him tonight that we won't even try to hint at, we could say much. But we're glad tonight that He came into this world to save sinners. And we're thankful tonight that we have taken advantage of that, and that our name is in the book of life. We can rejoice over many, many things, but we rejoice that today, tonight, that our name is in the book of life. One songwriter emphasized that, he said, "My name once stood with sinners lost and bore an awful record." And you think about that record that was compiled, that we compiled against ourselves. And just to think that Jesus Christ, in His sacrifice and His blood, wiped the slate clean. That we have been regenerated by the Word of God that was made flesh and gave His life's blood. And He said in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So it took blood, and Jesus freely gave. He said, "No one took my life, takes my life. I lay it down." Thank the Lord tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a few scriptures. I'd like to think about the greatness of God, and then find hope in that, not just over the past, but let that experience be something that we also take hope in for the future, that God is still God, that Jesus is still the Lord Christ, and He still has the power to reconcile all things to Himself, and that He freely wants to truly give us all things. I'd like to begin the reading tonight in Colossians, the first chapter, and the 12th verse. First chapter and the 12th verse. I've always enjoyed this particular chapter of Colossians. It, to me, in part, opens up the manifold treasures that we have in Jesus Christ. And this is some things that He said to us, Paul did. In the 12th verse, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." As we read these, meditate on what this means to you and the opportunity that it opened up for us, that you and me could be part of the body, the church of the living God, that we could enter in at the door and be a part of the kingdom of God. The Lord God made it possible. He was the one that came to establish the way, and He is the one that instituted the call, and He is the one who gave the invitation, and He is the one that loved first. Think about it. All the effort that went in, and maybe still, but what went in to you and me being a partaker with the saints in light, or with the body of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we were in darkness, and there was no escape. You know, it's not it shouldn't be unusual for us to want to thank Jesus Christ and to praise Him because of what He did for us and because where He brought us from. And the Lord speaks about not using the Lord's name in vain. May we tonight honor the name of God the Father and God the Son. May we tonight not use His word in slang or in a haphazard way, but with reverence and awe, thank God tonight that it was Him, Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who has delivered us from the power, you know, the sin of this world and the sin of the devil has power, and only through Christ were we delivered. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. It speaks about we must be born again. And the animal sacrifice and the good intentions of man could not fulfill redemption. It could not make a new creature. It could not make a new heart or a new man. But it was stood in a place where it was an atonement for the time then. And it was a reminder of the sins that man had committed. But it offered no deliverance and redemption. But thank the Lord, through the blood, the absolute blood of Jesus Christ, you and me now have the forgiveness of sin. And we have redemption. You know, we have a lot of reasons to praise Him. But praise God, we're forgiven. And it said of Him, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. When we think about Jesus and being the Word of God, and He was the personification of God, He was the materialization, if you will, of the Word of God. He was God in the flesh, and the Word of God was made flesh. And we need to honor Him, and I know we do. We ought to take every opportunity to thank Him. We ought to take every opportunity to tell someone else how good Jesus really is and how it's not an effort to serve Him. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I hope tonight, as you and me journey with the Lord, that we find a sweetness there. You know, the Lord didn't mean for this way to be sour or drab or uneventful. But He meant for it to be a holy and a joyful and a beautiful way tonight. Don't let the devil pour water on the fire of the Lord or the zeal of the Lord. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him. That is quite a statement. But when you consider that Jesus is the Word of God, and when you consider the fact that in the beginning God said, let there be, and that was the power, that was the authority, that was the creative power that caused things to be, was the Word of God. And the Word then became flesh in Christ. It's a mystery, but yet it's a beautiful mystery. And how He did all those things, I'm not sure exactly. Of course. But I know this, He did, and He spoke, and He speaks to you, and He speaks to me. This one that had the power to create something from nothing. This one that called into existence all things. He still speaks to you. Don't you think, and don't we know tonight, that creative power is not dead? That creative power has not ended, but He still makes all things new. He still comes down in my heart where there's hurts and pains and where there was sin. He comes down into those lives that's been wrecked and seems like nothing but death is the inevitable outcome of it all. And He speaks life. He goes to the tombs where men are dead and trespasses in sin. And as He said of Lazarus of old, Lazarus, come forth. He speaks to men today. Come forth out of that prison. Peter had to be woken up, and he was awakened, and he went out, and the gates opened to the prison. Thank God today, my God still lives. My God still reigns, and He still opens prison doors, and He still opens tombs, and He still creates a new heart and a new life, new families, new minds, new spirits. He just lifts up where there was seemingly nothing but death to be looked forward to. And He is above all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the church, the body. Praise the Lord for that. One of the hallmarks of the establishment of God's church and His kingdom on earth is Jesus Christ. He is the head, and just as your body and mind gets all of its instructions, either directly or indirectly from the head, so we receive from Christ how to live, how to please God, and how to have communion with Him. He is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Tonight, let's you and me look at our lives. Consider Jesus Christ. Is He having preeminence? Think about it a minute. We're saved. We're Christians. We want to please Him. Yet, God's Word teaches us how to live, teaches us what to do to please Him. He teaches us about our own human flesh and nature and how it's an enemy. I would encourage us tonight that in everything He has preeminence. And that means preeminence in the saints' lives over our own opinions and our own ideas, our own assumptions, that, Lord, yet I think this, yet what do You say? What is Your word? What is Your direction? These are the things that I see and perceive, and it's causing me to come to certain conclusions. But, Lord, this could be me. This could be the way I think. This could be my own limitations, my own doubts. It could be my own hurts. It could be my own ignorance. Lord, what do You think? I don't want to react or act or be led by something that is not of You. So think about it tonight, saints. When life presents its questions, who has preeminence? Who has the real final say-so? You know, the Lord doesn't keep us from thinking. The Lord doesn't keep us from having ideas. The Lord doesn't keep us from emotional feelings. The Lord does not stop that. But I'm thinking about it tonight in that course of living. Who do we look for to guidance? Who do we look for to give us the nod? Okay. Or the little shaking of the head? No, not now. Wait a while or don't go at all. May we tonight judge ourselves by the preeminence of Jesus Christ in all things, that He might have preeminence. And that's a safe way, by the way. It's a very rewarding way. I think sometimes, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Well, I can testify that song is true. Having done things and put my foot in my mouth, and when I really should have said, Lord, what do You want me to say here? What do You want me to do? What do You want me not to do? Waiting on the Lord. Be of good courage and wait on the Lord. He'll renew us and strengthen us. But He must have preeminence. He must have the consent of my will to say, Lord, You must be preeminent in everything I do. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Think about it. He wanted to reconcile us very deeply and feelingly. I don't know how I would explain it. From the depths of God, He longed for reconciliation. And to some degree, man maybe understood that. But the gravity of our sin, the grossness of our estrangement from God was such that we couldn't do it. We could not facilitate it. And we didn't have any way of performing that which was right and had no inkling of what to do, really. And there was God and calling for us, or yearning for us, rather. And it was as if He said, there's nothing else that can be done. I must go to them. Aren't we glad tonight that God came to us? Aren't we glad tonight that back in ages past and in today, God came to us and in our desperate condition, in our waywardness and in our ignorance, God came to us. So He reconciled us to Himself by Himself. He recognized, knew, however you want to think of this, that He was the only means available. He was the only way. So for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We owe Him a great debt. Let's pay it by loving Him and by serving Him and following Him and allowing Him now to have preeminence in our life and all things. Banish all thoughts of anything that I may think or you may think that if we let it have preeminence, will lead us in a way that's, at the best, it'll rob us of our joy. At the worst, we could lose our soul. God was, the Bible said in Corinthians, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to Himself. What a wonderful God. He saw us and He said, the only thing I can do is go down there. I'll send my Son. Perhaps they'll hear Him. Tonight, let us hear Him. And He did it in such a painful, bloody way. He did it in such a humiliating form. Sometimes we let our pride and arrogance grow kind of hog wild, don't we? Sometimes we let our pride and our arrogance and our human thinking stand right in the way of victories. Jesus Christ humbled Himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. God forbid that you and me would ever not humble ourselves, not humble ourselves to God, not humble ourselves one to another. You think about it. The means by which you and I were reconciled was a most terrible means. None of us can imagine, really. None of us could think of a horror and the torment that was going on in Christ's passion. And yet He was doing it, the King of all ages. He was doing it for you and me. This was Him coming to me and paying a price. We owe Christ all things. We praise Him tonight. We worship Him tonight because, Lord, look what You did for me. You made reconciliation between me and the Father. You wrote my name in the book of life, and the means of that was the blood of Your cross. I don't know how anyone would want to look upon the cross of someone dying. And sometimes it took days. Sometimes it took much more than a day. Sometimes they just left them there after they died. A most terrible, despicable. And yet Jesus Christ bore a curse and died on the cross for you and me. Lord, it shouldn't be hard. Oh, Lord, help us to have preeminence. Let You have preeminence in our life. I'd like to go over into Romans now a moment, 5th chapter. And this is just a little, almost a footnote on a very small thought, because how do you elaborate on Christ effectively? I find it very hard to do at times to say how great Christ really is. Yet, considering what's been said, Paul, who had been speaking about the wonderfulness of Christ, in fact, he said in the 25th verse of the fourth chapter of Romans, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And then Paul continues his letter and he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being able to have right standing with God. What a wonderful privilege tonight to know that the coast is clear and the way is clear and the title is clear. There's no liens against us and there's no chattel mortgages against us, and that we're not any longer got skeletons in the closet, but it's all clear. And we can say with John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We can, with a hope and a joy, we can go to boldly to the throne of grace because Jesus Christ brought us peace with God. The war is over. The estrangement is gone. The thing that stood between us and God, the sin that separated us, is gone and washed away by the blood and the word of God. Tonight, therefore, being justified by all the work that Jesus Christ did for you and me, now tonight we have the wonderful privilege of having peace with God. He is now our Father, whereby we say, Abba, Father, whereby we come to Him and make our petitions known, not in fear and dread, but I have a Heavenly Father who cares for me. My Heavenly Father is caring for me, the songwriter said. Oh, tonight I praise God for that peace. I hope we all are enjoying it. Sometimes the things in life tempt us, and the songwriter said, nothing can my peace disturb. Let's be careful. Let's be real careful that nothing does disturb it. And I find the thing that will disturb it is myself and how I let temptation, how I let life, how I let my bodies being well or being sick affect me. The peace that I have with God, I believe tonight, is a lasting, eternal peace. I truly believe that. But nothing can my peace disturb. Let's be real careful. Free and happy as a bird, let's be very careful. You know what? There's snares out there for the little birds. But I'm praise God. In Psalms, he said, the snare is broken. It's broken through Christ. It's not broken through mine and your abilities. It's broken through Christ. So now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, Eden was a beautiful place. Now, having not seen it, I know for a fact it was. Because God said it was good. And God put man in the garden and there was no sin. And all the thorns that you and me are recognizing today, they weren't there. So Eden was a very beautiful place. And it was a graceful place. It was a blessed place. It was a place that Adam and Eve didn't build. Adam and Eve didn't have anything to do with it. It was there. And God said, now I'm going to place Adam and Eve in the garden. And they just... I don't know how it all took place. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on a wall or something? And how'd God do that? And, well, that's how he did that. You know, was Adam and Eve created over here apart, and then he took them and set them down? Did he create them in the garden, you know? But he placed them in the garden. What a beautiful place that was. Let's not let sin and unbelief, disobedience, take us out of that beautiful place, the grace of God wherein we now stand. We might call this sanctification, but I think it can be looked at other ways also. When God brings us out of sin, it's a most wonderful, beautiful, quiet place. It's a river there, and everywhere that river goes, it's everything it touches, there's healing. Out of the inward part of man flows that river of life, the Holy Spirit. So thank God tonight that God's got a beautiful place to build our life in. He's got a beautiful place to build our marriages. He's got a beautiful place to raise our children. He's got a beautiful place for us to establish a life to go forward in this world. That's what God has done for us. Now we rejoice in that, because it came at a terrible price, the price of Jesus Christ and His blood. So we have access now. We've talked some over the last few weeks about the gift of God. It's there. We have access now to the tree of life. And we have In a spiritual sense, we have access to the tree of life. One day we will have literal access to the tree of life. And we have access to grace now. Grace abounding, multiplied grace. Grace for grace. Grace on top of grace. When you use that grace, another grace is there. We have access into this place where we stand now. And we may be going through trials, and we may use the energy at second, millisecond by millisecond, kilowatts are being used in this building, but there's another one to take its place. There's another, however you want to measure the electricity, another watt, another amp, another whatever, another surge of energy every 60 times a second or something. It oscillates back and forth. God's doing those kind of things for us. So, we can't use that light up there because, we've got so many kilowatts and that's it. No, that old plant somewhere up here in Oklahoma, it's just churning out kilowatts. Well, that's literally. And that possibly could have a breakdown. They do that. But our God gives us grace for grace. You know, don't be afraid that you're going to run out of grace. It's always there. It's available to us. We have access to it. It's ours. Through Jesus Christ. He said, be through peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, where we operate out of. Let's drop down to maybe the sixth verse. Read maybe the next three. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We've gone over that. Now, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, let me start over. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. That's just rare. But peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. We think in terms of, is someone worth saving? There's been records in history, our records in history, where someone has so valued the virtue and character and the contributions that a person has given in life, they have said, I want to stand in his stead. There's a few cases like that. There are few, and they're far between. And that's what Paul is writing about. Maybe that will happen every so often. But God commended his love toward us when we weren't worth anything. On the market, we weren't worth anything. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. We were dead. We had transgressed against God. We had went against him directly. We had purposely refused to obey him. And when you look down on the value of the worth, what was any of us? What was I? I was nothing. And God, in his extreme mercy and love, while we were yet sinners, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about it. None of us, and we know this, none of us were worthy of the blood. It's an act of grace and mercy and love on God's heart. It was a yearning. It was a longing. It was within God to want us so much that he was not willing to leave us out here, but he was willing to come down and pay a price and die for us. But God commanded or commended, he directed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I praise him for that. Then a promise, then a hope, then something, Lord, happened to surge up in every one of us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. In other words, I think of it this way. Wow, what an opportunity. What a beautiful thing has happened to me. What hope can I now have in that I'm a son of God and you're a child of God? If we were without hope and then Christ came and died for us, now we're his children. Praise God. Can I not ask largely and can I not expect largely and can I not have a great hope and a great joy and a great reassurance and a great confidence that my God is going to fight my battle. He's going to take care of me. He's going to get me through this difficult time in my life. He's going to show me the way. He's not going to let go of my hand. He's going to be with me every step of the way. He's going to hear my prayers, and he's going to put his arms around me and underneath me and take me through to victory. If he did all that for us while we were yet sinners, why would he not now? Then lastly tonight, I tell, and I say this sometimes, but it is perhaps my favorite scripture in the Bible. That's a big statement because there's a lot of them. I know that. But this verse I'm fixing to read gives me such reassurance. It's the Word of God. It's 8 and 31 and 32 of Romans. What shall we say then to these things? You know, what are you going to say to life? What are you going to say to your accuser? What are you going to say to the problem? What are you going to say to a sick body? What are you going to say to yourself? What are you going to answer out? What shall we say to these things that accost us? If God be for us, who can be against us? You think about it. Look back over the past. Read more in the Bible about the sacrifice and the love and the calling and the yearning and the longing of God for us and our terrible weakness and our inabilities and that Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life and shed his innocent blood and be humiliated before man and suffer the pain and the trauma of death so undignified. He did it because he loved us. He did it for he longed to have us back in the fold. He wanted us back in the garden. The porter's opening to him now, and the porter allows you and me entrance in to the beautiful garden that God created. And then the favorite verse. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I press to believe this. I war against my flesh to believe this. And how do I believe it? I look over the past. I look at the experiences that we didn't read there in the fifth chapter that begets different things and experience hope. I press against the foe that says, it's not so. I press against the enemy that said, oh, that's just nothing. Sometimes I go back to my calling when I was a sinner. And I go back to the real reality of Christ speaking to me. I go back to that place where I knew without a doubt it was Jesus who was revealing himself to me. Sometimes we get in battles and we feel a doubt or we feel the devil provoking us to something. Sure we do. We go back to what we know is real. How he loved us and died for us and how he's witnessed to us and how he speaks to us. So now, I press to believe this. I believe it, but I press to not believe it. I said that wrong. I press so that I will always believe it and not fall prey to the temptation to not believe it. How shall he not now, in my little circumstance of life, freely give me all things? What circumstance are we under? What battle are we facing? What question has arisen? What need is there in our life? Where is the place that we feel a little afraid or we are a little hesitant? Where is the lack of courage? Whatever may befall us, and it does. It really happens to us. It doesn't make us mean and immoral. It makes us human. But now, I look back and I see all that God has done, and he spared not his own son. Well, surely, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I depend on this verse. I really do. I depend on the love of Christ and the love of God. And I depend on the sacrifice. And I want to give Him, and I know you also, want to give Him preeminence in all things. So let's you and me be willing to forsake our way and accept Christ's way. We say we've done that. Well, let's really do it. Let's make sure we're doing it. And when that why in the road comes up, He said, you'd hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Let's let that word have preeminence in our life. And He will direct us. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. It's as if He's stamped His name on us, child of God, heir of God, and He wants to honor and will honor that name. And He's not going to say and have people. You remember one time God was going to destroy the Israelites? Forgot the exact scenario. And Moses pled for them. And you know what? You remember what one thing Moses said was, what's all these fellows around us going to say if you destroy them? God led them out in the wilderness to kill them. That touched God. His name was on these people. He said, I'll just destroy. I think this is the same scenario. I'll destroy them and make a nation out of you, Moses. No. What? Your name's on these people, Lord. And God honors His word and He honors His name. So He's put the name child of God on you. He's not going to lead you and me in a way that was going to bring dishonor to His name. But it's going to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. So how shall He not now freely, with the same vehicle that He's used all down through the ages, Jesus Christ, freely, absolutely freely, give us all things? You pray for me.